2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome on back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Right here with you. You can always join the program via the podcast. If you ever want to never want to miss an episode of KSL's Unrivaled, Scott, you go to Apple Podcasts, wherever it is that you people who own Androids go. Or you can just go do the thing where you go onto KSLSports.com, click on the podcast button, and that's where you'll see Scott and I. So you'll never miss out on an episode. Scott, we got to jump into this next portion of the show. This one is sneaking by a lot of news outlets for in terms of what the ramifications could be. And that is, and we actually, I think at some point, this was a 2-minute drill for us like a long time ago when Arizona State's punter had declared for the draft as a redshirt sophomore. Okay. And we were like, okay. This is a little bit much. And, the thing was, is that he went in and he was he's first team all Pac-12, Michael Turk, and he's returning to ASU after entering the draft, hiring an agent, not going through all the, the combine stuff, the punter, workouts with a lot of different teams. And he did not get drafted. So he said, oh, well, I'm going to try to go back to college, which is a massive no-no, has been a massive no-no forever. And the NCAA decided that they will grant him a waiver, allowing him to return to play at Arizona State after all that. And here we are, totally missing, after all this, we are totally missing the fact that this is something that needs to be talked about. Because this kid, he didn't suddenly there was not a combustion, a self, combustion or anything after he declared that he was going to come back. He didn't die. Nothing happened. I don't know if this will establish anything because he is a punter, Scott, but does this change the way that the NCAA is going to look at things going forward?
Well, I think it does just for this year because, look, with the pandemic, with everything shut down, it would be difficult, especially for a punter. You have to people want to see you in person, and not having that ability to do it is a challenge. From the NCAA's side of it, it's like, look, why do we – it is a punter. You know, it's not like he's going to have this massive impact on a game. Now, Kyle Whittingham will argue with you that he loves his punters because he's a field position coach, but in most of college football, it's not like he's the starting quarterback or he's someone who has a massive impact on the game. So it's like, yeah, whatever. You want to come back, fine. We don't care. Yeah, it's a COVID season. We get it. You know, whatever. I mean, and he does have a valid point. The player does. He has a massive valid point.
Why couldn't everybody do this, though?
Well, no, I agree with you. Look, I'm all for that. I did that. And you don't know what your position is. You really don't. You do not know, and the draft is a funny thing. And you watch how these teams rate players and how players, you know, just where they are in positions, good players can slide, and the draft can be a crazy thing. And it always is a crazy thing. So being able to go, yes, your position is shaky, it's precarious, because everyone thinks they're the best player in the world.
Right.
So then they think, you know, they're going to be drafted. But the reality is the NFL doesn't think that way. So being able to test the waters and get a real evaluation. And I don't know how you get that, because every team's going to evaluate you differently. But I think you can get a sense that, yes, teams like you or they don't. And I think there should be a way maybe that some information is made available to players to get an idea of where they really are, because it's going to help the NFL. It's going to help the NCAA too, because you have these players and the NFL just goes, you're not ready for this. We're not going to accept you now. And they go, great. We're going to go back. And the NFL goes, great, because we want you to get better. Joe Burrow is a great example of this, where he was not the best player in college football, far from it. And he massively improved over a year. And he's not the only player that does that. And that happens all the time. I just hate, and I remember when this kid came out after his redshirt sophomore year, and I was just like, ooh, that's a huge risk. And I hate to see players make those kind of decisions and have to live with it, especially at such a young age and a pivotal time in their life, you know, that where these decisions affect you for a long time. So I love that he could come back. Maybe it will become more of a norm. I don't know, but certainly it's a norm in the crazy world that we live in now.
I wonder too, and this is one of those where I'm, you know, I defer to the people who've gone through it, but you know, we've watched it, and I'm just such a huge advocate for these guys who are athletes in college now. And you notice how I worded that. I'm not bending over backwards calling them student athletes, right? I mean, not because they're not, but what. I think what college wants you to do is to just think that, hey, this is amateur, these are amateurs and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is that if a guy goes to the NFL draft, NBA draft, Major League Baseball draft or whatever, it's not where they want to go or it's not what they want to do. I mean, baseball actually makes it quite easy. But in a lot of these cases, these guys can't do what they want to do because the all-seeing eye in its ivory tower, the NCAA guys are going, no, this would ruin everything if you're to go out and see what your value is on the pro market and then to come back after that. It's ridiculous. I mean, think about Yoli Childs being punished those 9 games, right, at the beginning of this year. And imagine BYU without Yoli Childs. It's easy to go, man, they didn't have Yoli. If they would have had Yoli Childs this year, they would have been way better. But after he came back for those 9 games, they were undefeated, I think, maybe until one or two of those games. But every game he was in, they were in. But here's the thing, NCAA. It's better for your institution for him to come back. Like, which one do you want? You don't want one-and-done guys, or you do? Which one is it? Because if you do this, you'll get fewer one-and-done guys. You'll get guys who are at a pretty high talent level who go to that combine who are thinking that they're really awesome. They get totally told all the things they need to do to improve. They go back to college, and it's good for the game.
What's happening all the time on college campuses? They have these career days or these career festivals. They have all these companies come in. People are looking for internships.
They have real conversations with actual recruiters.
And they go, right, and they're like, hey, because what is college? College is an opportunity for you to prepare yourself for your future and go out and get a job. And so they don't just say, no, you can't talk to IBM or Apple. Can't talk to them. Well, have you been in school for 3 years? Well, once you talk to them, you know, and declare that you're going to graduate from here, you're out. You're ineligible.
So
they allow it for everything else. And this is such a special opportunity that most people don't get in college, where, I mean, you can go financially and put yourself in a really good position for the rest of your life. And why wouldn't you want a university to help you out with that and get the best information possible to make the best decision for your future? It makes no sense to me.
I want the best product on the field. And guess what? The best punter for Arizona State is this guy.
He's a good punter, too.
Yeah.
He's a really good punter.
First team Pac-12 guy. Yeah. And imagine it being a running back. And it just didn't work out. Imagine those guys are at the positions thinking that they were going to get drafted. They end up not getting drafted, or a free agent, you know, signing that they did, that they didn't want, or whatever. They didn't feel like it was time. And to be able to say, hey, you know what, agent, here's your $37,000 back. I don't need it. And I want to play. I want to keep playing to see if I can improve. All right.
And just think, Alex, a punter shall lead them.
Oh, my goodness. Ridiculous. All right, we're taking the break here. We come back. Hey, two-minute drill right around the corner. Stay with us right here. KSL's Unrivaled continues.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.